Yeah, I mean, imagine that. Imagine someone telling you in a language you don't understand that you're about to have a tube shoved up your ass, and then actually have it happen and be like, I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't agree to that. I didn't sign that waiver.
Beer Mile Nation, welcome back to our Best of 2022 highlight series. We're continuing the train. The train's left the station. It's going full speed ahead. The brakes are broken. And we are now getting close to wrapping up this series. Pat Tiernan, Mr. Aussie Man himself, now running for Puma. He was one of our most listened to guests of 2022, most shared in terms of some of the reels that we put together for his episode. We dive in with Pat on, one, he does commentary on, I think, the most exciting college race of all time, the 4x mile at Penn Relays from several years ago, where it was Ed Chez versus Jordy Williams and the anchor leg. And it is one of the most tactical, crazy races I've ever seen. So he does commentary on that. And we have the video of that race while he's doing the commentary. If you're watching the video version on Spotify, you'll be able to watch along right with it. We also dive in with Pat on his last Olympic experience, collapsing on the track in the final lap, and all the aftermath that happened afterwards of getting things shoved up his butt. Those stories coming right up here on this highlight episode. If you want to listen to the full episode of Pat, if you just can't get enough of this funny Aussie man, head back, Beer Mile Podcast episode 93. There's also a link to episode 93 in the description of this episode so that it's easy to get to. Pat's a hilarious dude. We've had him on twice now. Actually, we had him on as well right before the Chicago Marathon where he was making his marathon debut. So cheers, Pat, for being a frequent Beer Mile Podcast guest, one of the few double guests. Actually, is he the only double guest? He might be the only double guest. I'd have to go back and fact check myself on that, but might be the only double guest just because he's that entertaining and the people loved him that much. And everyone said, give us more Pat Tiernan. So if you're listening from Australia right now, cheers to you. Go grab yourself a Foster's and sit back and get ready to listen to this highlight episode with the best of Pat Tiernan. Right before we go down under, though, we need to go down under into your pants. That's right. We're getting a little personal here. You got to take care of that trimming, that grooming in your nether regions if you want to look good and feel confident. The reality is you got to get some Manscaped in your life. Manscaped has the best male grooming and trimming products, the best hygiene products, the best smelling products in the game, the best boxers in the game. And you deserve that confidence. Treat yourself or treat a dude in your life to anything from manscaped.com. You can use code BEERMILE, all one word, for 20% off and free shipping as well. They'll ship all over the world. They'll even ship to Australia. So now is the time for holiday gift giving season or just to get yourself a gift. New Year's resolution for you should be you're going to take better care of yourself, better hygiene, and you're going to have better confidence in 2023. Manscaped's the way to get there. I mean, just listen to this baby purr. Wow. Love that sound. Manscaped.com. Use code BEERMILE, all one word, 20% off and free shipping. This is also last call on our big holiday giveaway. We're giving away several hundred dollars worth of goodies to one lucky winner in a big holiday package shipping out around Christmas time. This is seriously down to the wire here. It takes 20 seconds, free to enter. Go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Leave us a 5-star rating. Screenshot it. DM us proof on Instagram. Just search for Beer Mile Media or email us podcast@beermile.com. It's that easy. If you rate us on both platforms, you get double entry, so make sure you do that as well. This big holiday package, several hundred dollars worth of goodies, the Manscaped Performance Package, several pairs of knockaround sunglasses, Beer Mile swag, including this stocking hat that I'm wearing here now if you're watching on the Spotify video version. All of that is coming to one lucky winner of our holiday giveaway. So get those entries in now, and I think that does it. Let's continue the best of 2022 train with some hilarious conversations and reflections from Pat Tiernan. Cheers, y'all. So in Tokyo, then, they don't show this really well on the, or didn't show it really well on like the live stream of the race, but there's like pictures and stuff afterwards of you like collapsing or falling over or whatever on the home stretch because of the heat. So I guess the last couple laps of that race, were you still like feeling pretty confident, or did you know that things were headed south? Like where was your head at with a few minutes left in that race?
Yeah, I mean, I spent the last year with psychologists trying to remove that from my head. So thanks for that, Chris. But
well, skip it. Next question. Skip it.
No. It was, I think it was tough because the race itself was tough from the jump. Like you said, it was just hot. Everyone prepared, but at the end of the day, when you've got guys, it was a weird race where there were guys who were trying to break away early on, and in a race where that happens and you're still going through 5K in over 14 minutes, that's, it's everyone's hurting out there. But no, I think realistically, like I said, I went in there with a goal that I wanted to achieve, and I wanted to be, when you go into these things, if you feel like you're ready, you want to put yourself in a position to compete for a medal or top five or something like that. And I knew I was struggling with probably 12, three laps to go. But I think my mental side of that point was you've done so much work to try and achieve what you want to achieve. I knew that if I'd backed off and raced for 12th or 11th, I'd leave feeling a little bit disappointed. So I just kind of kept working through it. I think realistically the penultimate lap was my last lap. I remember feeling like I was sprinting. It was just, I knew I was working too hard. I didn't know it was going to go that badly. I knew the last lap would be a struggle, but I don't think anyone could have anticipated that. Like I said, it was just, I went there to achieve something. I felt like I was ready to do it. And at the end of the day, I was going to, put myself in the best position possible to be able to do that. So unfortunately I came up a lap short, that time around, but I think after reflecting on it well, I'm leaving that with a lot of confidence in the sense that I was one lap away from easily the best result of my career. And to be honest, that if you take the result from 9.6K, that's still the best result of my career so far. I think that's still the best race that I've run, just being in the top eight in an Olympic final at that stage in the race. So, I'm leaving that with a lot of confidence, obviously a lot of things to work on and adjust and stuff like that. But ultimately I think that's something that I was able to take a lot away from it. It did not help being in a hotel room by myself for 2 weeks following that race. It's a lot of self-reflection going on. Luckily some local breweries in Brisbane sent us some six packs to help ease that mindset. There was definitely some work to kind of work through that to ultimately see the positives to take away from it and to be able to reflect on it in a productive manner. Like I said, taking a lot of positivity away from that.
I think it must have been Sweat Elite that I was listening to about where you're talking about your finish. And I was so surprised at how hot your body temperature was. But I wanted to give Chris a pop quiz and for our American listeners. Chris, what do you think 41 degrees Celsius is?
41 Celsius. Well, so the equation is 9/5 times the number plus 32. So, I mean, whatever that math is. I remember from the little bit of time I've spent in Europe or whatever. I mean, when you're in the 30s Celsius, it's super hot. Basically I just know it's summer, it's hot. And so if you're talking 40 Celsius, I know it's super duper duper hot. Definitely over 100, basically. Over 100 degrees. Fahrenheit. That's about where I'm going to go.
About 107. And I remember hearing that and I was I thought your internal, your organs started melting at 104. So apparently I know very little about the human body.
It felt like that. There's a good chance something melted in there. So, it was crazy. That's actually a wild story. So they, I came off the track and they're basically they had to take my temperature and they have to take it. the most accurate way possible. So, of course, so I'm like 5 minutes post like this traumatic experience on the track, being turned on my side on a Guernsey with my pants down, and they're shoving a tube up my ass.
Okay, now like, I understand why you went to therapy for this, because, yeah.
I know, right? And it's just like, so anyway, so that happened, and I was like, they turned me back on my back and took me under the stadium, and I was like, you know, they had all these towels over me. I had some lady, you know, giving me like basically like a straw and a little popper sort of thing that was for hydration and whatnot. I was probably there for 45, 50 minutes or so. Like, until my temperature like came back down to like 36.
Did you like take a little snooze at all?
Yeah, yeah, fully conscious, wow. Going through a wave of emotions.
Oh, God.
fully conscious, and then my temperature got back down to 37, I think, which is like pretty close to normal. And anyway, so I was like, all right, so I'm good to go. And I went to sit back up, and they were like, oh, wait. And I'm looking at the team doctor, and he's just like, he's looking up sort of thing, just not making eye contact with me. The thing was still up my ass. Is that still how they're telling the temperature? And so now I'm like fully conscious of everything that's going on, and I'm turned on my side to take this thing back out, and I just look at the team doc. I was like, was that up my ass for 50 minutes? And he's just laughing. He's like, yeah. I'm like, but, mate, I was just leaving there so many questions. But, yeah, it was a – I left and I'm walking out and I was like, well, at least there's a funny story to tell from this. So, but, gosh, yeah, that was something else.
That's nuts. Were you the only person at that? I would assume there are other people at that race in a similar situation. Like, were there, or are you in a, like a specifically in Australia, like team area at that point? Like, I'm just curious how many people running a 10K in that heat. I mean, I would assume like half the field was
shoved up their asses to get temperatures.
Half the field, right?
Yeah. I think I'm the only one who had that done, or at least the only one who's like, you know, shameless enough to say that they had that happen to them. But this wasn't in an Australian area. This was with a bunch of Japanese staff from the meet, so I also couldn't understand a single word that was being said, so it was just a very frantic moment. But imagine someone telling you in a language you don't understand that you're about to have a tube shoved up your ass, and then actually have it happen and be like, I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't agree to that. I didn't sign that waiver. it wasn't an Australian designated area. So I'm not sure. I don't think anyone was in that bad of a way. I'm sure there were people who had temperatures that were probably a little higher than normal, but nothing that couldn't be brought down.
Right.
Just from ice vests or something like that.
Are you still trying to figure out Christmas gifts for the loved ones in your life, or even for yourself? Hell, you had a hell of a year. You had a tough year, but you battled through. You got shit done. You deserve a gift too. Well, everybody loves sunglasses. Everybody wears sunglasses. And if you want the best shades in the game that are at an affordable price, look no further than Knockaround Sunglasses. Knockaround.com. You can use our code BeerMilePod. That's all one word, BeerMilePod, for 20% off everything. I'm rocking, if you're watching the video version on Spotify, I'm rocking the Mary Janes right here. Amazing casual sunglasses. Or could also be rocking the Fast Lanes when I'm trying to get my sprint on, get my racing on. They're extremely light, extremely comfortable, polarized, great sunglasses for all of your athletic endeavors as well as casual wear. Knockaround.com, use code BeerMilePod for 20% off your entire order. Maybe then less scarring races. The crazy 4x mile race.
Yeah, and Gohegan and Tiernan have separated. This could be a decisive move here. The pace really picking up second by second. Tiernan looks good hanging on. Let's see if Gohegan just has an entirely other gear here, because they'll have one lap to go before they hand off to the anchor.
And if anyone listening to this podcast doesn't know what race I'm talking about, we'll put a link in the description, because it's It's one of my all-time favorites. I go back and watch it like at least once a year because it's pretty epic. But you were, I believe you were the third leg on that. And so like as the person watching your team race, like Ed versus Jordy versus all the rest of the field that, you know, caught up and was in contention, like what was going through your head as someone then like watching your teammate and watching that race come down or, you know, go down and like all the crazy, like basically stopping to walk in the middle of the race and then sprinting and everything that entailed and ultimately, you know, spoiler, Villanova winning, winning the race. And again, taking down Ed, who was like basically unbeatable on the track that entire season. So yeah, what were you thinking as a person on the team in the stadium?
11:55 now, and Tiernan moving up, not getting dropped. We now watch the 12-minute mark. Let's see what we need to run.
How tactical? Oh, it's going to be a jog fest.
It's going to be a jog fest.
It's going to be an absolute jog fest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I feel like half the listeners will be thinking like, is Pat Tiernan even in that race? I remember initially when I handed the baton to Jordy, just being so pissed. I remember my teammates, Rob and Sam, both had the same look because we busted our ass to run like right around 4 flat for 3 legs in a row. And then their first 100 meters was like 30 seconds. And we were just like, the fuck did we do that for? What a waste of time. And like, I was fighting for my, like, I think, who was it? Will Gohegan was running the Oregon League against me. And he ran like a 57 second lap on the third lap, which for me at the time was like a huge injection of pace. Mm-hmm. And so I am like fighting every bit of lactic acid to catch up to this guy to give him the baton, and then they both just start jogging. And I was like, I'm done with this. Like, what are we doing?
Jazz is stopping. They're like, literally, no one wants to go. They are stopping on the track. They are stopping on the track.
Well, I've never seen this before.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? They are not running. They are
they're
running.
Just belay.
Yeah, thank you. Look at the crowd.
Oh, wow.
This is embarrassing. This is embarrassing. What is going on?
I've never seen that before. They almost started walking.
They literally started walking.
But no, to be honest with you, it was, that's still like top five for me, just because one, you don't get to experience many team aspects in this sport. And I mean, I can count on one hand the number of relays I've been involved in, and it really is a really unique experience. So, the fact that I was able to share that with, you know, Jordy, he's one of my groomsmen for our wedding, so he's one of my best mates, and Sam and Rob are both going to be there as well, and people who you just, you know, we trained together for the better part of 2 years at that point, see each other every day and things like that. So, you know, to be able to share something like that with them is really special, especially when it's, you know, Penn Relays has always been a big deal at Villanova and still is. So, but no, as soon as Jordy went with Ed with 200 meters to go, I knew he was going to win it. Because the day before, which is, I think, the story that a lot of people don't know, is he lost the DMR to Ed, like basically the opposite way. Like Jordy made a move with 200 to go, Ed just followed him and then passed him in the last 50 meters. Like, it's literally, if you watch the two races, it's the same race, just the positions are switched. But Jordy came back from the DMR that afternoon, because we just catch a train to Villanova, from Villanova to Penn and then back after the races and just stay in the dorms. And were we roommates? Yeah, I think we were roommates. So he comes back into our room and I'm sitting there with Rob and Sam, and he just looks at me and he's like, get me the baton. Get me the baton alongside him and I'm going to fucking win this thing. And I was like, all right, cool. So that's why I'm busting my ass to get him this baton in line.
200 meters to go. Anything could happen.
McGordy cuts off Williams. Williams trying to catch Chez.
Oh, no.
Williams is looking good. Williams is sticking on him. Williams is trying to get redemption for what happened yesterday. It's Williams and Chesnarek.
Oh,
80 meters to go. Head to head. Williams trying to hold the chest. Dorty Williams is your champion, ladies and gentlemen. Takes down Edward Chesnarek. Villanova are your 4x mile champions. Wow.
But yeah, he covered the move, and something that Jordy, I'll always respect about Jordy is his mentality after a race that he didn't like, that he didn't win or that he was in and he just lost. He always had that drive to come back and win the next one, and learn from it, sort of thing. And I think that's a, you know, it seems like a very common and simple trait to have, but I think it's pretty rare to actually be able to do it. And that's something he's always been able to do. And so, yeah, when he covered that move 200 to go, I was like, Ed doesn't have the same drive as Jordy does right now. Like, that man will run a 10-second last 100 here if he has to. But, yeah, so he's flying down the straight and Sam's jumping around like a clown just after the finish line, and we're all there and crosses the line or whatever, and Sam and I are there and we're looking around for Rob, and Rob's staring up at the board screaming and stuff like that, and eventually realizes that we're all over there celebrating. So it was it was awesome. And like you said, Ed was on top of the world at that point. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's hard to find a more dominant period for him than 2014 through to the end of 2015. So
for sure,
that was a great a great run from Jordy, but I think it was just all, you know, we knew exactly what we had to do, and we knew we just had to get him the stick in striking distance, and he was going to be bring it home for us.
In situations like that, I know, like, there's in running, there's like the camp of people who always want to know, like, what was your time, or like, oh, that race sucked, they didn't run a PR, they didn't, you know, run a world record or whatever. And then the other side that's like, no, racing is racing. Like, who cares about the time? So in that specific case, I mean, I know you're in the position where you're like, crap, I just worked my ass off and basically it doesn't matter. This is basically just a Jordy versus Ed Ches like showdown, starting off with a 90 second first lap or whatever it was. But like the crowd, you can hear people like booing and going crazy, whatever. But to me, that was like one of the most exciting races ever. So I'm curious where you fall in this camp of like, were they dogging it way too much where it's like, you know, bad for the sport, or did you see it as exciting? And then like, oh, that was actually good for the sport. Cause I think it was pretty good for the sport. I thought it was awesome.
Oh, it's so exciting. I mean, when you watch that race back, and I have watched that race back, it's easily one of the most exciting races you'll ever see. I mean, it sucks every time I watch it that I know what's going to happen, because I'm like, I wish I was experiencing this for the first time. But yeah, so if there's people who haven't watched it and don't know, like, just, yeah. But no, I think I was more pissed at the time because we dropped everyone else. Like, I didn't care about the time. It was just like, we got it down to, we just had to beat Ed. And within a lap, there were 10 teams back in the mix. So it's just like, what do we even do here? so exciting. I mean, I think there's just so much that went into it. Like, now I feel like a lot of races are just fast from the gun and people are hanging on. And if a move's made, it's still exciting, but it's not necessarily it's not a lot of fireworks to it, I guess, mm-hmm. or it doesn't look like it anymore. Like, I was watching that World Champs 15, and they closed in 54 still, but it didn't look, I don't know, it wasn't, to me, it didn't have the same sort of level of excitement as that race had. And I know my opinion's going to be biased with that for sure, because I had a lot more invested in it. But I think there was just like, you just didn't know what was going to happen at any point. I think there was the Georgetown bloke went to make a move at one point and then his coach told him not to. And so it was just like,
he just stops. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you've never seen so many moves made in the span of a mile. Not even in Bix that many moves made in a mile. It was crazy, but definitely, you know, I think everyone I talk to, the main thing is everyone I talk to has something to say about it, whether they say it's good for the sport or bad for the sport. It's a race that everybody talks about, and I think at the end of the day, if you're talking about it, it can't be bad. So,
and there you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this Best of 2022 episode, highlighting our top segments, most commented, most listened to segments of the year. Hope you enjoyed those. You can listen to the full podcast episode, link in the description. You can also join our big holiday giveaway by heading on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify right now, leaving us a 5-star rating, screenshotting it, DM us proof on Instagram, Beer Mile Media, or you can email us podcast@beermile.com. And if you've already done it, if you've already given us a rating or review, do it again on the other platform or share the Beer Mile podcast out on your social media stories, tweeters, whatever you want to do. DM us proof and we will enter you into the giveaway for several hundred dollars worth of goodies. Thanks to our sponsors, Manscaped and Knock Around. You can also support the show by going to manscaped.com. Use code Beer Mile, all one word, for 20% off and free shipping. Knockaround.com for the best sunglasses in the game. Use code BeerMilePod, all one word, for 20% off. This is time. It's crunch time to get those holiday gifts, those Christmas gifts purchased. Head to manscaped.com or knockaround.com now and get her done. If you want more behind the scenes content, more podcasts, the After Dark podcast episodes, head on over to patreon.com/beermile. You can follow us on all of our socials. That's in the description too. Thanks again for a big 2022. Let's make it an even bigger 2023. Cheers, y'all.